this year, my dad. He's the one who brought me to Christ a few years back. And I just like to lift him up in prayer before y'all. So if you'd bow with me, that'd be great. Dear God, thank you for the time you've given us at this camp. It's the ability for us to grow in your word and in your spirit, Lord. Lord, we know we've seen your spirit working with the baptism today, and we praise you for that. Mm-hmm. Lord, we pray that you bring more to your name. I pray that just my father here would be able to just preach your word tonight, that he'd be able to just pour out your spirit upon these people, that just he would say what needs to be said. And I pray for my brothers and sisters who are sitting here tonight. I pray you just turn their hearts toward you and speak to those who are dithering about baptism. Because you know, Lord, that we're never promised tomorrow, only today. So I pray that you just speak to them. I pray this all in your son's name. Amen.
What a blessing. I tell you, I want to establish something right off the bat. God is good. And I tell you one other thing that I am for sure is that Jesus is my Lord. And our prayer, my prayer, is that tonight that the Holy Spirit will do amazing things in you. Allow you to hear words that are from Him. There is something I know for sure, is that there is no reason, and you'll hear why in just a little bit, that I should be here. Only by the grace of God. Only by the grace of God. Now, on Monday, we started out with Steve. I believe that Steve did an incredible job by presenting this notion that joy is really not based upon my circumstance, but really is based upon a relationship with Jesus. And Jesus loves you. And then we so many different lessons, so many different pieces that we talked about. There's something that caught me that Steve talked about. I hope that God morphed this into your heart, that he began to have this as part of your process this week as your identity. Now, this is, I have a phrase that I shared with my group, my class. This phrase began to transform how I begin to live and how I live from this point forward. As my identity is not achieved, it's received. I want to say it again. My identity is not achieved, it's received. When we live in a world that is all about achievement, even in church, sometimes we're about achievement. But I want to tell you that from the very beginning, from Genesis chapter 1, in the Word of God, it establishes that you are very good. And I want us to use this idea that if you can imagine, if we can just use this illustration, that this glass ball, and nothing can reach in, nothing can penetrate it, nothing can get out, and God packaged you all the gifts, all the wonderful, incredible things that He made you with, He put inside that. Now what we do is we begin to make a mistake here and there. We begin to put a little dirt on. And then we begin to get involved in certain things. Maybe it's innocent things. Let's say even sports. There's so many things that can begin to cloud. And we even put a blanket over this glass ball. And then when we look back, days, months, years, and then we begin to see a distorted view of our identity. And the only way that we can get rid of that, the only way we can get back to what God has packaged in us, is to begin to say, Jesus, come and take that away. that only Jesus can wipe that away. It's almost like Jesus is the power washer. He begins to power wash that glass to where it's perfect again. And it only happens in Jesus. I hope that that illustration begins to morph what you believe in self, because there's a lot of things in life and in our society that's going to tell you otherwise. I want to tell you a little story. There was this man named Jim. He's from a family that only presented pain for him. His mother only told him how worthless he was. If you can imagine for a moment, statements being thrown at him saying, you never get this right. Why can't you just get it done? You're too slow. Constantly negative comments thrown his way. His father was absent. It seemed he really didn't care. So as a little boy, he believed that he was worthless and that he wasn't cared about. So at the age of 12, Jim left. He left his home, in a sense. He began to drink at an age of 12. And right about the age of 14, he could even say that he was an alcoholic. Jim really did hate every moment of his life. He hated every day in school. He hated going home. There's another person who was really hurting. Janice was her name. Her father was an alcoholic. And he was also abusive in many ways. If you can imagine that at the age of 8 or 9, just imagine this, on the way home, her dad would be, they'd be on the way back home when they were in town at the bars. And on the way home, she would mention something benign, something that did not matter. And it would aggravate him, make him angry. And 2 to 3 miles out from their house, he would drop this 8 or 9-year-old girl and allow her to walk home. At the age of 12, Janice went to her mother, if you can imagine this, and asked if, and told her that she was leaving and that her mother could come with her if she wanted. So Janice and her mother left this highly abusive home. They had to travel to California. They had traveled all over and then eventually found themselves back in Texas. And wouldn't you know it, but Jim and Janice ended up going to the same high school. They ended up dating Jim's senior year. And you're talking about two really difficult situations. Two people that really didn't know what love was. It was distorted in their mind. After he graduated, he went off to the Army, and during this time, Janice sent him a Dear John letter. If you know what a Dear John letter, that's pretty much saying, we're done dating, I'm moving on. So really quick, Jim had this 30-day leave from the Army, and so he went back to Texas. He was in Anchorage, Alaska. He fought for 28 days and eloped on the 29th, and then he left on the 30th. So, if you can imagine, Jim went back to Anchorage, Alaska, without Janice, and then for the next 2 weeks, he did all he could to get enough money for a ticket. Finally, he got there, sent her the ticket, and they were reunited. Because they were living life very selfishly and really not knowing how marriage works. Knowing their background, you can imagine the arguments. Imagine their life. And as they were living this life, there was a couple from the local church that was one of their neighbors. Well, they invited themselves over, knocked on the door, and when they went in, they would not leave until they listen to the gospel. This particular couple shared that night because they were stubborn. And Jim and Janice listened to the good news of Jesus Christ. And praise be to God, they obeyed the gospel and they started their relationship in Jesus Christ. After being discharged from the army, they decided, of all things, this was not on my radar, of all things, they decided to go to preaching school. This couple had three kids. Jim and Janice had no example of what it meant to be a parent. They made their mistakes. But when Jesus is a part of the picture, your story changes forever. Jim and Janice had three boys and that are now grown. And all three are faithful followers of Jesus Christ. They also have 10 grandchildren who are growing up in homes that love Jesus. The youngest of their children actually went into ministry. And I stand here before you being the third born of Jim and Janice. And I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Have a story, and no story is too big for my God. We've heard stories. We've cried together. We've celebrated together. There is no doubt about that, because of somebody that's bigger than us. This week, I know that you, each one of you, and your teachers have been preparing and praying for this week. I hope you've seen the truth and have found that truth in the Word of God. I pray that the Holy Spirit has been working in ways that we cannot imagine, that we have just started to listen and obey what the Spirit has in store for you. I can only imagine at the end of this week that we're at, and boy, this week has gone by fast. I know we've said that throughout this week. Man, it would be great to have another week hanging out with you guys to see what Jesus can continue to do. But I'm excited, I have to tell you the truth, about seeing this army leaving this place to go preach the good news in your town and to all the world. Let's open up and go to Philippians chapter 4. Are you reading from verse 4 through 8. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Tonight we need to acknowledge where this true peace comes from. I'm going to tell you another quick story about a brother of mine. You may have seen our shirts that we wore earlier. Some of us are wearing these shirts tonight. Team Todd. Well, Todd is a brother of ours from College Station. About 2 years ago, it's amazing, by the way, I'm going to back up, because it's amazing how we started this week, Steve talking about a brother that is struggling, walking through cancer. And what does he do? He finds joy. And has fought the fight. He is actually last days of his life. He's fought for 2 years. And I was talking to him about life, about death. You know what came up? Peace. And as I was talking with him, I said, please, and of course, my job is a counselor, and so I love questions. I love to just process things. I said, God, tell me about peace. And I had my pencil out, and I had my piece of paper I was expecting, and I was honestly a little bit selfish, wanting this incredible insight, these words that would be transformative, because those were my expectations. And he had some words. I said, Todd, how do you know? How are you experiencing this? He said, I just know. And so, of course, as a counselor, I tried to ask it a different way. And I said, I went into my other question. He goes, you know, Sean, honestly, there's no other answer that I can come up with. There's nothing other than you just know. And so I put my pen and my piece of paper down. And I left there and prayed about him, of course, and prayed about this. And the more I thought about that, the more that it came true of this, of God's word, of being truth. And I want to read this again. Present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So that phrase, I just know, is nothing that we can do, but I don't know if you heard that again, in Christ Jesus. That's a gift that's given to us because of Jesus. It's always amazing to me how God's word speaks to us. In Ephesians 5, as we're really talking about the marriage chapter, it talks about, and I love these descriptors, I love the in parts, because it really gives where the strength and the power is. It says, submit to one another as to the Lord. As to the Lord. And it goes in, we will submit to your hearts out of reverence. And then it goes into, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church for her. If we're basing the peace upon us, if we're basing the joy upon us, we're going to stop. It's not going to work. Based within Jesus. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, neither the present, nor the future, nor any powers, nor the height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I think one of his weapons, as we've even talked about, his fear, his anxiety. And it talks about, and those are contradictive, so that's why Paul wrote this part about anxiousness. Do not be anxious about anything. And of course, we talked about in our classes throughout this week, the Lord is near. Remember that little phrase? The Lord is near. Then it says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, go where? To prayer. There's something that we often talk about is fears. You know what's behind fears? It's the what ifs. There's something that Satan loves to throw our way and to stop us is the what ifs. What if this happens? What if I get made fun of? What if? And it stops us in our track and we become anxious. What if I'm not good enough? What if I come from this type of home? And you're right. You're not big enough, but Jesus is. You're not strong enough, but Jesus is. You cannot overcome it, but Jesus can. It's all based based upon your admittance that you cannot do it. But I want us to go back to our phrase that we started with, because I want you to leave here understanding that you're precious, that your identity is not achieved, it's received. Your identity is not achieved, it's received. I believe that they're missing the answer whenever a lot of people try to deal with anxiousness, depression. I feel like when I do counseling, when I sit with people, only one answer. I can go into all the different thoughts, emotions, behaviors. And if you imagine a triangle, and we have the thoughts at the top, and then you have emotions, and then you have behaviors, and how they all affect each other. And we can talk about changing one of those aspects. But I want to throw another little model in here. That if you put God in the center of that triangle, you will have change. Your thoughts will be different. Your emotions will be powerful. Your behavior will be different. But it's not because of anything you do. It's because of a reflection of Jesus. And because of this change, I want to leave you with some of the thoughts that Paul has in 2 Thessalonians. And may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way. Let the Lord be with all of you. The grace of our Lord Jesus be with you all. Thank you.